Hey, do me a favor. Hop on into that little question box and let me know one thing that you've done to move forward. Or the one thing that's really stood out to you, the most powerful insight, most powerful thing you've learned. You know, what is the one thing that you think is going to make the biggest difference in your life? And I'd love to just get a little bit of feedback today. What's working? What's ministering to you? Cindy from Manitoba says, good morning. Valerie says, good morning. I did not make it to yesterday's class, but I'm looking forward to the replay. I really miss the class. I love hearing the Holy Spirit, what he's speaking through you. Yeah, well, yesterday was a tough one. I don't know. Some people didn't love me after yesterday. They might have run for the exit. Yesterday was a tough one. Catherine says, I'm doing the set the timer thing. I'm setting it for 25 minutes, doing a task. Good job. She just did some decluttering. And this afternoon, she's going to work on taxes. That's a great tool, that Pomodoro app or that concept. Work for 25 minutes, laser focus. You know, don't check your email. Don't check your text. Don't pet the dog. Don't do anything. 25 minutes, one task, laser focused until it's done. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. So good job. Way to go, Catherine. Valerie's hoping to implement everything that she's learning in the class. Awesome. Stephanie says, good morning. I'm not rewarding myself with the old rewards. Good job. Good job. Because behavior that gets rewarded, it's going to be repeated. Nina says she's got a choice. I can do this on my own, plan A, or lean on his grace. I think we're all going to go with door number two. Great, great decision there, Nina. She's like, I think I'm going to try God's way. Cindy says, do something consistently. You don't have to do it all. Just do something, but do it consistently. Yeah, Cindy, the good revelation there. It's that all or nothing mentality. That's what destroys us. I'm going to do it all right now. Starting like right now, I'm going to do everything and change everything about myself. Or, you know, just pick one thing. And I'm like, okay, this one thing is going to be really powerful. If I just could just do this one thing, but do it consistently. And then once I've got that nailed down and I'm consistently doing that one thing, then I'll pick another thing. And then I'll have two things going. And once I've got that second thing going, you know, a lot of people make this recommendation. Make a list of 12 new habits that would change your life. And tackle one a month. You know, give a whole month to one habit. In other words, instead of trying to change 12 things all at once, which you won't do, it'd be like, you try to do it all. You can't do it all. You're like, forget it. You give up. Make a list of 12 new habits you want to see in this year and then start with one and take a whole month just to work on that one habit. And then that habit is on autopilot and then pick another and put that one on autopilot. Now you've got two new habits. Then pick another. You know, by the end of the year, you've got 12 new habits. Whereas if you try to change all 12 at once, what's going to happen? You're going to throw in the towel after a couple weeks because it's just too much. It requires too much willpower and your system just shuts down and says, I can't do it. And then at the end of the year, you're right back where you started from. So we're learning the power of little bits with consistency. Well done. Lynette got her vision statement. I'd love to see it. Share it with us. I knew you were excited about that. Lynn says she made her vision board and whiteboard, and she reviewed her whiteboard today. Good job. And that's the whole key, right? You get your vision board, and then you look at it how often? Once in a while? Once a year? Once a week? When you feel like it? No, every day. Every day. Just make it a habit. You could put that on your phone. Check your whiteboard. Every day at 9 p.m., set an alarm. Check your whiteboard. And when it goes off, go look at your whiteboard. What did you get? What do you need to do this year? Okay. Well, what do you need to do this month to get there? Okay. Well, what do you need to do this week? Okay. What did you need to do today? Did you get it done? Great. Pat yourself on the back. You're a rock star. Okay. What do you need to do tomorrow? That's it. Just set an alarm. We had one, I think it's Tosca. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She did that. She set a bunch of alarms. She decided maybe she had too many. One two or three, I think is plenty. One, two, or three alarms on your phone. That's plenty. Because if there's too many, you'll ignore it. You're like, every 2 minutes it's going off. It's like, okay, I can't do this. Again, all or nothing. So maybe one, two, or three. But I think if you only had one, for me, it would be at 9 p.m., check my whiteboard. Check my vision board. How am I doing on my vision? How am I doing on my plan? The vision and the plan, right? The vision board is the vision and the whiteboard is the plan. So maybe you've got a note on your phone at 9 p.m. that says, check your vision and whiteboards. How am I doing on my vision? Is it still inspiring me? How am I doing on whiteboard? How am I doing on the actual plan? Good job. Way to go, Lynn. And maybe a second alarm might be, you know, set your alarm a half hour earlier than you used to get up or an hour earlier than you normally get up and say, you know, time with God, God first. Nothing else I have to do is more important than that. Get to my prayer chair. Get to my time with God. Maybe those are just two, and then maybe one more midday to remind you of your new question. One of the students, I think Angela, made a screensaver for her phone with her new question. So every time she looks at her phone, she sees her new question. I like that idea. If I knew how to make a screensaver, I would do it on my phone. But I didn't know how to do it. But if you do, I think that would be great. Every time you look at your phone, it reminds you what your new question is. Really good idea. Linda says, I finally got my whiteboard set up and I'm using it. It was a process, inch by inch. But she's got it done. Aha. Christy says, making results, not excuses. Choosing action, not perfection. Oh, I like that. That's good. Choosing action, not perfection. We got to get an infographic on that. Choose action, not perfection. We need an infographic. If any of you have talent, make an infographic of that. Choose action, not perfection, because perfection immobilizes you. I say perfection is the enemy of progress. If you want to do something perfectly, you know what? Your body's like, if I don't do it perfectly, I'm a failure and I really don't feel like feeling like a failure. So, you know, I'm just not going to do anything. I'll just procrastinate. That's another thing that drives procrastination is perfection. That's why perfection is the enemy of progress. So do you want perfection, which is unattainable, or progress, which is very attainable? Which one do you want? Progress is much better. Progress, not perfection. Well, I've got to wait until I've got a full day to do my whiteboard. Really? Just go on Amazon, order the whiteboard. That's it. When it comes, do something. Good morning, Donna. I still love you, says Linda. Thank you. I'm glad someone does. I hope I didn't lose half the class yesterday. But I'm not going to belabor it because I know it's a tough teaching. But the truth is, dire consequences are already happening. It's the principle, just like the principle of reward, it's already happening. Behavior is already repeating in your life because you're rewarding it in some way. You're just not being proactive or intentional about it. But it is happening. And it's the same with the dire consequences. You are already facing negative consequences of your actions or inactivity. It's already happening. I'm just encouraging you to be proactive about it. Because I hope you can hear me. You're not calling to tell me you can't hear me, are you? Oh, okay, because I'm teaching live. I love you. Bye. I would tell you, that was one of my leaders. Can you hear me? I should probably ask. Is everybody hearing me okay? Let me scroll down all the way down to the bottom before I get you're hearing me. Okay, great. Let me go. Now that you know, this is really real. Good thing I'm not recording this part. Okay, here we go. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to say any more about dire consequences. Lynn says she spent time with the Lord today, and that's her number one goal. Yeah, that's a great goal. Nancy, focus on the one thing. One thing. One thing. She says, that's so important for me. Yeah, one thing. One thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A friend, don't have a name here, but says, good morning, Don. I'm learning so much from specific goal setting, recording my goals, mission, working from my annual goals, monthly, weekly, day-to-day goals. Love it. I feel so energized. and thankful for you, your truth and love, accountability. You're awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you. You're awesome too. Yeah, it is energizing. Victory to victory, strength to strength. That's why God says celebrate. That's why he commands us celebrate, because he knows how energizing it is when we celebrate. Come to the end of every day, look at your whiteboard and say, I got three things done. See, don't list 100 things. See, this is how we get ourselves in trouble. We list the 20 things we need to do today. And then at the end of the day, even if we've done 18, we're like, oh, I'm a loser. But if you just put three things up there and you get those three done and you're like, got it done. Yay, I'm a rock star. What three am I going to get done tomorrow? Yay. It energizes you. Set yourself up for success. Darlene found an accountability partner. Well done. Nina says, hey, I love that idea of 12 new habits, one a month. And it takes 21 days to establish a new habit. Yeah. Pick 12 new habits. Look at what you want to accomplish. And we did this earlier. Break it down. Okay, so what habits would I need to develop in order to, you know, get these things done and live this life? What would that take? Write them down. And then just do one at a time. Schedule it out on your plan for the year. Okay, in January, I'm going to work on getting out of bed an hour earlier. That's all I'm going to work on. I'm just going to get out of bed an hour earlier. Okay. And then in February, I'm going to add take a walk. So now I'm getting out of bed an hour earlier and I'm taking a walk. And then in March, you can add do some resistance exercise. So by March, you're getting out of bed an hour earlier, you're taking a walk every day, and you're doing a little bit of resistance exercise. Just get a stretch band. It doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to work. That's all I have. Is I have a stretch band and a kettlebell and my trampoline. What? And, a little mat on the floor to do something. That's it. Yeah. Liz says, a good technique is to schedule what you want to do so it becomes a priority. Exactly. Like exercising or writing. Yeah. Bake it into the cake. Retrain your brain. That's really helped Frida. Retrain your brain. Mm-hmm. An inch helps me get the task done. Valerie says to be more focused on Jesus and not allow my mind to be distracted. Do one thing at a time. Finish and then tackle something else. Set up a reward system. Holy Spirit wants me back to basics and back to my first love with him. Yeah, we're totally on the same page. Let me see, there's a couple more. Anne-Marie says, perfection paralyzes. Yeah, it really does. Perfection paralyzes. Leanne says, this class has been such a blessing. The daily action I'm taking every day is moving us closer to breakthrough and our destiny. We felt so overwhelmed for months. We felt called to take his message on the road and that we're supposed to put the house on the market. I was frozen. But now I'm cleaning, purging, giving away. This is moving us in the direction we hear him say. If I just worry about action, he will deal with the details as we need them. Amen. I love it. Just a couple more because these are great. Okay, good. Good. Melissa says, my goal is a shared goal. My husband and I are going after the same goal that will change our entire life together. It has been amazing. We sit and brainstorm together every step. We created vision boards for our every, this is how men join WEU, by the way, our every aspect of our goal. We're praying together. We're working toward the same goal. He's my best friend. What could be better? We have made great strides. Thank you for getting the ball rolling. Another amazing testimony. Hey, Melissa, would you do me a favor? Would you take that exact thing you just typed, cut and paste it onto the Facebook page? That's a great testimony. No, I'm not recording yet. Thank you for mentioning that, Deborah. We haven't started. I'm just doing a warm-up. Now it's 14 minutes in. I can't believe it. Cindy, so blessed to have these calls every morning. Love your passion, energy, openness, love for Jesus, and giving us a plan. Okay, good. Let's get underway. It's time to get this party started. Here we go. Hey, I want to tell you guys, I talked to GoToWebinar. They have no explanation for what happened yesterday. And we're not going to give any PR to anybody, but they cannot find any explanation or anything in their system that would enable y'all to hear someone that I can't hear. But I want to explain how this works. Okay. You have, and you should be seeing on your control panel there, a microphone. Do you see the microphone? It's got a little circle around it. Right now, it has a line through it. That line means I have you muted. I have everybody muted because otherwise, we'd hear toilets flushing and kids screaming and it would just be a cacophony and no one could focus. So everyone is muted. Then at the end, when I invite you to raise your hand, I will individually unmute you and that arrow will disappear. But then you have to make sure that your microphone is green, not gray. If your microphone is gray, it means you are muted on your side. So you need to make sure when you raise your hand and I call on you, you need to make sure that your microphone is gray. In fact, maybe when you raise your hand, make sure that your microphone is on green, not gray. Your microphone has to be on green, not gray, or I can't hear you. And let's just pray that none of that silliness happens where y'all can hear each other, but I can't hear you. I didn't know what that was, but neither does GoToWebinar. They're working on it, and we're just going to pray. So God, we thank you so much for, we thank you for technology, and we just believe that today it's going to cooperate. We just believe by faith that today every voice that needs to be heard is going to be heard. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God, because you are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this technology. Amen. Here we go. Time to get this party started, people. Here we go. We hit record. And somebody could just type into the chat real quick. Is everybody seeing the slideshow? So let me real quick. Let me know real quick. You seeing the slideshow? Yep, we see it. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Well, welcome everybody to day 10. Make this your best year ever. And it's been so exciting. Before I hit the record, we were listening to testimonies and God is really moving in individual lives. And I think that the biggest thing that he is showing people is the real enemy is this all or nothing mentality. The idea that, okay, it's a brand new year, so I change everything about my life right now. And that just takes us down to defeat. So much better to make a plan, lay it out for the entire year, and break it down into manageable, doable projects and tasks, gradual changes over time that you can permanently implement into your lifestyle. That's what will change us, not these fits and starts. And you know that because you've lived it. If the all or nothing fits and starts thing worked, you'd be at a very different place right now. So let's try diligence. So, many of you are learning, again, perfection is the enemy of progress. Perfection paralyzes us. We need to choose progress over perfection. Because it's one or the other. You're either going to be making progress or holding out for perfection, which is never going to happen. But progress is possible. Perfection is not. So we had a grand old time, and I appreciated everyone's input. I am loving this class. I'm loving the teachable spirit. There's just such a teachable spirit in this class. People saying, bring it. I want to hear the truth. I want to see what I'm not seeing. I want God to show me. I want God to show me my ways. Lord, you know my ways. So show me my ways. Show me those things that can propel me forward, but show me those things that have held me back in the past. But most of all, God, show me the way forward. Show me those gifts and talents. Show me those potentials that have been unrealized. Show me those things that are not my dreams. I thought maybe they were my dreams. No, they're God's dreams for my life. Show me that. Because maybe the world has been saying, oh, that's a pipe dream. Come on, you can't do that. But that's God's dream for your life. So Lord, we just ask that you would send a spirit of wisdom and revelation and give your people an even bigger vision. I pray that as the class progresses, that their vision will not get smaller, but that it will get larger, and that they'll realize that their potential is so much greater than they've ever realized, and that all it's going to take is showing up on a daily basis and just being diligent and faithful, and you will astonish them with what you can accomplish in their lives. So, Father, I'm just asking right now that you would stir up within us a passion for your holy presence and a passion for the Spirit of the living God, that we would begin to function in the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit includes patience, endurance, self-control, joy unspeakable and full of glory, that as we enter into your presence, we enter into all that's possible in you, because with you, all things are possible. And the more we walk in your presence, the more we walk in your power, the more the chains that of old habits and old ways of thinking and old ways of showing up and old beliefs, all of those chains are broken off. And more our potential is released as we're not weighed down by past failures and past regrets. We are liberated. We're set free. We're energized. All that new energy. You're going to be, what am I going to do with all this new energy in my life? Wow. I think I'll go climb a mountain. I think I'll go take the hill country. Hey, God, you know, I'm so free. I'm so ready. Let's go take the high country. Let's go take the hill country. Hey, God, how about you and I? Let's go up to the mountain where the enemies, your most fierce enemies are entrenched. Let's go up there and set them to flight. Would you fill your people to overflow with the Spirit of God that gives them power to do mighty works? We know our God, and we want to do mighty works for your kingdom this year. So God, we thank you and we praise you that you have been so very present in the midst of us, and you are working and you are stirring. And I ask you, stir up the gifts, stir up new hope, stir up new joy, stir up new energy. God has the answer to your every need. Whatever you're struggling with, wherever you're stuck, God sees what it is. And he's going to reveal it to you so that together it can be removed and you can press on. So God, we thank you. We love you. You're awesome in this place. You're even awesome over the internet. What God can do that, but our God. Awesome. We are on day 10. Remember to ask your questions. Why is this just perfect? And your new question. And one of our students has put it on her phone as a screensaver. And I would love to see all of you do this if you can figure out how. I need to figure out how myself. But as a screensaver on your smartphone, have your new questions so that it is ever before you. Or maybe you want to write, why is this just perfect? What's good about this day? Whatever you want to put. And then to set alarms on your phone, I've suggested 1, 2, or 3. And number 1 could be your first alarm of the day, would be the first one that goes off, and label it, go to God first. Nothing else. Not to anywhere else. Go to God first. Don't go to your laptop, don't go to Facebook, don't go to your text messages, don't go anywhere but to God first. And then maybe your second alarm of the day is a reminder of your biggest goal for the year. And then your third reminder, I suggest at 9 o'clock at night, go to your vision board and your whiteboard. Review your vision and your whiteboard, which is your plan. Do that every day. Keep your destination ever before you. Do this every day, and next New Year's Eve, you won't recognize the person in the mirror. And rather than looking back at this year with dread and regret, you'll be like, you know what? With my God, look out. Next year, forget about it. I'm just making bigger goals. I'm not making the same resolutions next year because I got them done last year. And so now, like with God, I'm going to do a new thing because God is always up to a new thing. So when you get done all those things that you've been writing year after year and never accomplishing and never daring to step into, God's going to give you a whole new list and take you to a whole new level. It's not going to be around the same dumb mountain again. It's going to be the new. How exciting. And I always like to give a testimony. This is from James. He's a pastor and really feels called in this season of life to be a pastor to pastors and to help pastors get their church fully engaged. That's his mission. So he has a testimony. I've been hitting my targets. I'm still on course to launch my website on the 17th. There's still a little hiccup. But his biggest issue, and this is probably for all of us, what's my value? Does what I have to bring to the world really have a value? Oh, how we struggle with this. Is the message that God has given me, the mandate, the mission, does it really have value? Whether you're a missionary and is it really worth asking people to support you and invest in your ministry? I mean, should you really ask them to donate to you? Because is it worthwhile? Or whether you're an artist, can you really charge for your artwork or for your crafts? Can you really charge for your time? Are the products and services you're offering, are they really valuable? We all struggle with this. All of us. This is why we're afraid to put ourselves out there. Fear, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So he was wrestling with it. Will anyone really pay for what I'm offering? He mentioned it in the prayer room. He says, man, I guess I should say women, can those ladies pray? You better believe it. You better believe it. We have a powerful team of intercessors. So ask for prayer and ask for prayer about what you're doing in the class, right? Don't ask for prayer for your neighbors, brothers, uncles, cousins, next door neighbors, bosses, coworkers, friends, mother-in-laws, sisters, uncles, grandfather, who's 87 in the hospital. No, ask for prayer for what God is doing in and through your life in this class, okay? So if you need, he says, if you need prayer, go there. What a blessing. Saturday, I was up at 1:30 a.m. struggling with this. I pulled out my prayer journal and started journaling. I told God I needed someone to respond to me. And he put out a fleece. No, I know I shouldn't be struggling like this. I was getting prayer support, but I was struggling. And it's okay to be that honest with God. And it's okay for us to be this honest with each other. I needed something. I got up Saturday morning, checked my email, and there was a message from a pastor. It was lengthy. And some excerpts. Jim, I need your experience and insight. Would you consider letting us hire you as a consultant? Are you available Tuesday at 7:30 for breakfast where we can talk about this? I look forward to hearing from you. It reminded me of the book of James. You do not have because you do not ask. Oh no, his name is James. I might have twisted that up. James, you do not have because you do not ask. It also reminded me of what an African pastor said. When you pray, do you hope God will answer? Or do you expect God to answer? Great question for all of us today. When you pray, do you hope God will answer? Or do you expect God to answer? Expecting is much better. And I want all of you, wherever you are right now, you need to write out a request to God, post it in the intercessory prayer room, and say, God, I just need confirmation because I am daring to dream things that a lot of people told me I can't dare to dream. And I'm starting to get a vision that's so big, it's kind of scaring me. And I don't know, am I imagining this? Or is this really you, God? Do I really have something to bring? Do I really have gifts and talents and skills and experiences that are valuable and worth something and will make a difference in this world? Or is Donna just making me dream and have these wild delusions? Is this you, God? Would you confirm it? This is a key step for a lot of you right now. And if you're not a little bit scared, if you're not a little bit like, whoa, I don't know if I can dream this big, you're not dreaming big enough. It should scare you a little. Everybody in the Bible that God gave an assignment to was like pretty scared. Like, whoa, I don't, you're going with me, right? Right? Right, God? Like, I'm not going by myself. How's it going to work out? It should scare you just a little. It should drive you to your knees in holy reverential fear. Confirmation that yes, you have something to offer. And there are already people out there waiting, desperately waiting. You notice this guy says, I need what you're bringing. There are people right now who need you. They need your wisdom, your insight, your gift, your talent. They need you. And they're waiting. The world awaits. Remember the quote from the introductory webinar? The world awaits that moment when the true you, the real you, finally emerges on the scene. And here's proof of it right here, fresh from this class. And he's taking action. He's saying, God, there's part of this that I need supernatural. I need to hear from you. I need you to move. God, can you do the part that you can do? Meanwhile, I'm going to do the part that I can do. I love this balance. I sent 21 quotes, verses, and sayings for Michael John Paul to turn into infographics. I meet with my sales mentor and web designer tomorrow, my accountability partner on Saturday. I had a meeting with a potential client today. So he's doing all that he can do while praying to God and saying, God, would you do what I can't do? This is the balance, and this is what most Christians miss. We miss one or the other. We either miss the part where we understand, we miss the part where we're doing something so big that we can't do it. It's got to start with that. Pick something so big it's impossible, because we serve the God of the impossible. So if you're doing what's possible, God's like, okay, well, I guess she's just doing the possible. That's not really, I'm not really in the market of the possible. So I hope she's having fun over there doing all the possible stuff. I'm the God of the impossible, so I don't know. I guess that's, I'm out of loop on that one. Somebody hearing this? you better pick the impossible. I'm talking about your vision. And then you cry out to God and say, God of the impossible, would you take responsibility for all the stuff that I can't do, all the impossible stuff? But meanwhile, I'm going to do all the possible. And Christians miss one or the other. We have people who are like, oh, I'm going to be a movie star. Meanwhile, they don't take acting lessons, right? So we need both. We need to be diligent and faithful with integrity and excellence, doing all that we can do, doing all that's possible, and trusting God to do the impossible. Amen? Amen. This was great. And my girl, Chrissy Wilker from Germany, who's been a missionary with YWAM, that's Youth with a Mission, an amazing mission organization that trains young people in a program called DTS, Discipleship Training School. And she's been teaching at those in Australia. And she's been in some of my other classes. And, you know, kids go through this DTS, and maybe I think it's a 2-year program, and they're on fire for God and deep in his world. And they're in this environment that's filled with God and worship and support and accountability. And then they go home. How well do you think that turns out? How well do you think that turns out? In a lot of cases, not very well. They go back home. Disillusioned, discouraged, fall away from the faith, all kinds of bad things. The devil's waiting for them back home. Devil's just waiting for them to get home so he can snatch them up and neutralize them before they do any damage, any more damage to the kingdom. Neutralize their ministry. And I felt, and I know Chrissy felt, this is her destiny right here, to help these students, and there are tens of thousands of them who've been through this program, but then what do you do when you get home? Really be prepared. Every YWAM missionary needs to have this book. So when they go home, they're like, okay, now what? And then they won't be surprised by the fiery trial, because the devil's got the same bag of tricks that he trots out on there. Here's, you know, it's trying to seduce you by a pretty girl or a handsome guy. It's the same old bag of tricks. And forewarned is forearmed. And she did what we said. She went to 5RR, to Vikiana, and Vikiana created this beautiful book cover. Now it's real to her. It's not just a pipe dream. She's done what's possible, which is to have a book cover design. Now she can put this on her vision board and every day. And now she's got a plan. And she's decided this book and this online coaching that comes with it is going to happen this year. The deadline for the book is May, when I will most likely attend a YWAM Leaders Conference. Great place to introduce it. In June, I'm going back to Australia, starting the online coaching component. So incredibly proud of you. And I'm going to pray right now. God, I pray right now for Chrissy, and I pray for just hundreds of thousands of lives that she's going to impact. And she will never know until she stands before you in heaven how many lives, because of the missionaries that she empowers. These are teenagers. These are young kids. They have a lifetime. They have decades and decades of fruitful, faithful service ahead of them. If they're prepared, and do not let the enemy come and steal, kill, and destroy what you accomplished in their life during the DTS. And because of this resource and because of this coaching that she's going to provide, there are going to be thousands, tens of thousands of young people who then go on to many, many decades of fruitful service. And all of that fruitfulness will be credited to your account in heaven, Chrissy. Be encouraged. And same for you, James. I pray the same for you, James, that every pastor that you encourage, that then you empower and that you equip to have a fully engaged church that changes, that rocks the world. All of that kingdom work will be credited to your account, and you will never know until the day you stand before the King exactly the impact of the decision that you've made in this class to really step out and make it happen. So super proud of both of you. Remember, step one, you got to have a vision, and it ought to scare you. It ought to scare you just a little. It ought to shock some people. When I told people I was going to go all over the world and do mighty things for God, I mean, they thought, you off the medication, Donna? Plan. Step two, plan based on your predetermined priorities. Not enough to have a vision. You got to have a plan and then work the plan. How often should you be working that plan? Every day. Every day, little bits with consistency. Create a measuring system, because what gets measured improves. To track your progress, because what you track stays on track. And guess what? If you don't track it, it doesn't stay on track. If you don't measure it, it doesn't improve, period. Establish accountability. Have you found an accountability partner yet? I hope you have. Step five is to monitor your milestones. Have an idea of where you need to be by when. Celebrate your achievements. It's a command of God. Number 10, day 10, we are on step seven. This is the last step in the seven-step system. And you're like, well, what'll we do? Now we know the seven steps. Now we'll work the steps with encouragement from the Word of God. Okay? So for the next 11 days, we're going to be focusing on God's Word and getting equipped and empowered as you implement these seven steps. Okay? So day 10, live for eternity. And that brings us to step seven, impart your gifts to impact the world. Again, step seven, impart your gifts to impact the world. See, some of you haven't unpacked your gifts yet. So some of you haven't even opened the box. You've got this box of gifts. It arrived, shipped you from Amazon, right? You haven't even opened the box yet. You didn't even know how many gifts and talents you have, because you're sitting somewhere saying, well, I don't really have any gifts and talents. Really? Because you got a whole box full of them, but it would help if you opened it. And once you open it, and some of you, you're like, oh, I know I have this talent. That's it. You have so many more talents. You have a box. You have a boatload of talents. And God wants you to impart them to the world. So number 19, live for the last day of your life. This isn't original with me, but again, you got to do it. It's not enough to know it. Are you doing it? Have you done it? There's no higher level of personal fulfillment on earth than reaching a position in life where you know you have something of great value to contribute to the world and you are joyfully making that contribution. Nothing is more rewarding than a rewarding life. Again, nothing is more rewarding than a rewarding life. And I believe you're never fully alive until you're doing what God has destined you to do and operating at the absolute highest level of your potential. And not only at the highest level of your potential, but when you're going beyond your potential, doing the impossible. That's when it's amazing. And I've had that moment. I've written things in books. I'm like, I don't even know this stuff. I don't know. I can't write like this. I can't write anointed prayers like this. I can't do this. God did it. God did it through me. When I pray for people prophetically and it's so accurate, I can't do that. I don't know someone's heart. God does. That's when it's really exciting, when you're doing the impossible. A life of contribution is one we can all celebrate. And so I want you to do it. Really do this now. Imagine you've come to the end of your days and people from every facet of your life are gathered around you. What do you want each of them to say in tribute to your life? I'm going to tell you something that I think really made a big impact on me. When I was a little girl, I went to a Catholic school. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I don't know how my dad was a truck driver with 8 kids, no 6th grade education. How he afforded to send 8 children to 8 years of private education, I will never know. But they did it. And it was wonderful. And I remember in 7th and 8th grade, the school was attached to the church, and they would have funerals several days a week. And our job was to be the choir. And whenever there was a funeral, we would file into the church, and we would sing. We had a set of songs that we sang, and we would be there for the funerals. And I cannot even tell you what a mark that made on me as a little girl. It really, really, week after week, hammered home. You know, the day is coming when we all die. It's inevitable. Death doesn't shake me at all. It's like people are like, oh, my so-and-so is dying. I'm like, oh, what were you thinking they were going to do? I mean, everyone is going to die. You know, the death rate in America right now, I don't know if you know this, but the death rate in the United States, and actually worldwide, it's 100%. And it's expected to continue operating at that level, 100%. You know, Enoch, I guess, and Elijah. But most of us, we're going to die someday. And there's going to be a funeral. And let me tell you, some of those funerals, nobody was there. Nobody was there. The choir. The choir was 10 times the same. It was the choir and maybe 2 people. That really was sobering to me. And then there were other funerals, half full, some packed out. Packed. Really was really sobering. And I think very, very good for me. Very good for me. Because this is real to me. That my funeral is going to come. And so is yours. And who is going to be there? And what are they going to say? And I think that's why people love the movie It's a Wonderful Life. They love that movie. Because it forces us to face our... I can't think of the word. our inevitable departure from this life. Our mortality. There's the word, mortality. And seeing at those funerals forced me to face not only my mortality, but the fact that people were going to come or not come to that funeral based on the way I lived my life. And what they were going to say and how they were going to feel and what they were going to do on that day was 100% up to me and the way I chose to live my life. It was real to me. And I don't know if it's real to people. What do you want your family to say on that day? No, really, I want you to write it down right now. I want you to have a pen and paper. What do you want your family to say? What do you want your friends to say? What do you want the people at your church to say? What do you want your neighbor, friends, people in your community, the people who saw you at the grocery store, people who saw you in Walmart, the hair salon, gas station? How do you show up? What they're going to say is 100% based on how you show up. Your career, your coworkers. What do you want them to say on that inevitable day? And it is 100% up to you. You get to decide that. And I would really like you to decide it right now. Because here again, this is going to happen whether we're proactive and intentional about it or not. You will have a funeral. And people will attend or not attend. And they will think, say, and feel things whether we face it or not. The day is coming and that will happen. And the number of family and friends and church and community and coworkers, the number of those who attend will 100% depend on how we choose to show up for our lives on a daily basis. We get to decide. And we decide it every day. Your last day, that won't be your last day, but a couple days after your last day, the funeral part. What do you want them to say? Then you're going to have to live that way. You're going to have to live that way. Which brings us to number 20, look for opportunities every day. It's not enough to think about the last day of your life, hoping for the best. You have to live in such a way that you will be remembered as you hope to be. And use this exercise. I don't mean this to be morbid at all, because to me it's not. To me it's just natural. Death is as natural a part of life as being born and breathing. Use this exercise as a lifelong planning tool. Aim for your best year ever every year, and then your life will be your ultimate life. And when your time on earth is over, you know, what's that old song? May the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. It's hokey. It's corny. But you know what? Let's post it up on the Facebook anyway. Somebody go find it. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And then the other corny, hokey song, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Let's post both of those songs up and let's listen to them. My favorite song is from Robin Mark. And it's... I think I'll post that one up if I can. It's the song that I want at my funeral. I think I'll post it for you. You can listen to it later. It's called When It's All Been Said and Done. Only what I've done for heaven's name will endure. When it's all been said and done, what's going to matter? I'll post that up. And you'll be crying. You'll cry. And you can think of my funeral and what you would say at my funeral. I'll give you an example. So I wrote that I want my daughters to say, our mom put us first. She never lost sight of what matters most. She taught us to love and live with passion, to love God and serve others. Now, that'd be really nice if my daughter got up and said, you know what? Our mom put us first. She never lost sight of what matters most. She taught us to love and live with passion, to love God and serve others. I want my friends and members of my church and community to say, Donna treated everyone with love and generosity. She was gracious at all times, even under pressure. But obviously, if I expect people to say those things, I'm going to have to live them out. And in order to live that way, it's going to require prayer, planning, and action. Write those down. Prayer, planning, and action. And this is huge. Again, this is the part we miss. If people are going to show up at my funeral and really say the things that I want them to say, I'm going to have to routinely substitute what I know I should do for what I feel like doing. I define true freedom, and my kids have heard this so many times. Oh, heavens. This is one they'll probably say when they do their little talk. As my mother always said, true freedom is not a license to do whatever you feel like doing. True freedom is the power, gift of God. True freedom is the power to do what you need to do, the way you need to do it, when, how, and where you should do it. Whether or not you feel like doing it. That's true freedom. True freedom is the power through the Holy Spirit to live the way you know you ought to live, whether or not you feel like it. See, when we don't live the way we know we need to be living, when we don't do what we know we need to be doing, when we don't say what we know we're supposed to be saying and think what we're supposed to be thinking and feel the way we're supposed to be feeling, when we're not doing that, it's because we're in bondage in some area. We're enslaved, you know, that we haven't spent enough time in the anointing, which breaks the yoke of bondage. And the answer for everything is time in His presence. If we want to be truly free, what's the answer? Time in His presence. Time sitting in the anointing. Because the anointing will break the yoke of the bondages, and will be the more filled we are with God and His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the more we abide in the vine, the more the fruits of the Spirit increase in us, the more free we are. And when we're truly free from all the nonsense, old hurts, old habits, old, you know, old lies, old, you know, whatever, free of the old, stepping into the new, filled with God, that's how we're free. And we wake up every day, and because we're free, we have the power to do what we ought to do that day and live the way we know we ought to live that day. And in any area that we're not living the way we know God is calling us to live, there's some kind of bondage there. And the Holy Spirit can set us free to live for Him. What's your number one obstacle? All of us, we're all the same. It's an unhealthy soul. I want, I think, I feel. I don't want, I don't think, I don't feel. Well, I feel like having a donut. I don't feel like working on this today. I don't want to put this out there yet. I don't think it's ready. I want, I think, I feel. I don't want, I don't think, I don't feel. Any sentence that begins with any of those words, we're operating in the area of the soul. The Spirit is all about what God wants, what God says, what God thinks, how God feels. It's all about the Spirit. It's a soul, the soul. It's a soul out of control. And we need to go on soul patrol. We need to go on soul patrol and figure out, you know, in what area of my life do I have a soul out of control? My soul's not at rest. It's out of control. It's spiraling. It's having opinions. My soul is at the wheel. Jesus isn't at the wheel. You know, Jesus, take the wheel. No, Jesus isn't at the wheel. Our soul is at the wheel. What's at the wheel of our lives is what I want. I want to take a nap. I want to hit the snooze button. And I think it's not going to be a problem for me to just skip my quiet time today. Because I really feel like I've got this. It's going to be all right. I don't need God involved with this one. And the question is, are we spirit-led or soul-driven? If you want to come to the end of your days and have a packed funeral of people honoring, glorifying God, and the footsteps that you leave leading people to believe, you're going to have to live a spirit-led life, not soul-driven. And again, we need to just, there's no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There's just an invitation to come up higher. That's all. Go a little deeper, climb a little higher. That's all. Time in His presence. That's the answer. How do you become spirit-led? Time in His presence. It's simple. None of this is complicated. Spirit-led or soul-driven. If you lead a soul-driven life, your funeral is just not, it's going to be a little bit sad. Honestly, I mean, I'll love you with the love of the Lord, and you'll be in heaven. So you don't even have to attend your funeral. You could just get to heaven and say, Lord, I'd rather not look. I'd rather not hear. Let's just, I'm just going to go sit on my cloud and enjoy my mansion. It's no problem. If it doesn't matter to you, that's fine, I guess. I mean, God loves you. I'm not talking about whether or not you're going to heaven, right? I'm not talking today about whether or not God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. He's going to spend eternity with you. This is not about your salvation. It's about your sanctification, right? I call them the threeifications: your salvation, your justification, which is your salvation, your sanctification, and your glorification, okay? Your justification and your your justification and your glorification, those two occasions are done. Okay. They're taken care of. But it's that sanctification. It's that middle-ification. That's the one that's in question. And the more you cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he does the work of sanctification in your life, transforming you more and more into the image of God's dear son, the more joyous and that funeral is going to be. And that's just honest. It's up to you. I can't decide what matters to you. Maybe it doesn't matter to you. And that's fine. Again, this could be a day you're like, you know what? This day wasn't for me. I don't care what they say. I don't care. I'd rather just watch TV and just do what I'm doing, what I feel like doing. And I don't really like Donna anymore. But anyway, I think I need a refund. The Bible says, so what's the obstacle? Is dividing soul and spirit. What am I doing each day because I want, think, and feel it? And what am I doing because the Spirit's leading me? And this, you know, this is a lifelong journey, right? But the Word of God is alive and active. It is. Have you noticed? If you haven't noticed, the answer is you're never going to guess. Can I get a drum roll, please? Time in his presence, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Only the Holy Spirit is able. I can't penetrate this. I can't divide this for you. I can't tell you what you're doing because you're soul-driven and what you're doing because you're spirit-led. Because it's tricky. It's tricky. That's why the Word of God is so powerful, and it can judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So that when we read God's Word, and it says, do everything without selfish ambition or vain conceit, and you're like, ooh, ouch, awkward. Bless those who've hurt you. Pray for those who misuse you, and you're like, awkward. I don't know. That's not really what I feel like doing, but Bible says that's God's way. And I know that every command of God is for my benefit. So maybe it'd be better for me to just do it God's way instead of my way and see how that goes. So the word of God is the guide here. Not our feelings. We can't trust our feelings. Why? Because the feelings are exactly the issue here that can lead us astray. I want, I think, I feel. So my priorities, what God said to me for this year, time in my word, time in my presence, time in my word, time in my presence. That's it. Back to basics. That's me. You may be different, but that's kind of my watchword for this year. Do our actions line up with Word of God? That's it. And I would strongly encourage you, if you're struggling in areas like diligence and self-control, I would really urge you, and you know who you are. You're not living up to your potential, and you know it. Spend time in Proverbs every day. And I was on the Paula White show with this guy. His name is Stephen K. Scott. And he started just a regular guy. And was a new Christian. And he met with Gary Smalley. You know, they lived in Scottsdale, I guess, together, met each other somehow. And he's like, well, what should I do? I'm this young guy. I'm wanting to be a business success. What's your recommendation? And Gary Smalley said, well, you need to read a chapter in Proverbs every day. And he was like, that's what I need to do? Oh, okay. So he started doing that. His entire success strategy was to read a chapter in Proverbs every day and just do what it says. Just do it his way. Do it God's way. He didn't become a millionaire. Mm-mm, no. He became a billionaire. He created infomercials. You can thank him or hate him. I don't know. But he invented infomercials and became a multi-billionaire. And his only strategy was reading the book of Proverbs and doing it God's way. And God's way works. He wrote this book. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorites. It is excellent. The Richest Man Who Ever Lived. Solomon is, I don't know if you can hear that. My neighbor's motorcycle makes me crazy. Solomon is the only documented trillionaire in human history. There's been many billionaires, and Stephen K. Scott is one of them. But this guy, Solomon, was a trillionaire. And this is a great book, very helpful, easy to read, very practical. I would urge you, if you're struggling with diligence and all the things that the book of Proverbs talks about, how to live a life that, you know, success, wealth, and happiness, you know, prospering. I would highly recommend it. Well, okay, so now it's your turn. If the tributes that you've just written, and I hope you've written them, allow time for you to do that even now. If the tributes you've just written are to be spoken from the heart at your funeral by those you've touched, you'll have to do the same. You'll have to live each day with the end in mind. This is back to Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits of Highly, you know, Effective People. Begin with the end in mind and really do this. Don't, you know, again, I know the temptation because we're all the same. Like, well, okay, yeah, great. I have heard that. I know that. That's great. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Do it. Really take a moment right now and do it. Take a moment to think of just one small thing that you can do on a daily basis. Again, little bits with consistency, or at least on a weekly basis, that will make a difference in each of those areas. Keep it simple and make sure it's measurable. I've given you a lot of ideas, you know, like my idea with my daughter and her love language. I wrote in a book every day, this is what I appreciate about you. And I did that for a full year. And that's like a treasure. That's a treasured keepsake for her. I told you about the book I wrote for my daughters. I spent a whole month working on it. It's a big, long, full-length book. But it's just for my daughters. It's only for them. What does that tell them? Mom thought we were important enough to write a book just for us and no one else is ever going to see it. And you can have it printed. Put it up on CreateSpace. Have it printed and sent to your kids. I think I might take that as the next step. Mine was just bound, you know, wire bound. I've just talked myself into it. I'm going to go into CreateSpace and have 2 print-on-demand books, print it, and give them to my kids. It'll be the best $15 I'll ever spend. Look for opportunities every day. How can you touch the lives of your family members, friends, church? How can you show up at church? You know what I used to do? I don't do it anymore, but I used to do it every week. I would sit in church when I didn't go to a mega church where they have it pitch black and you can't see anybody else. But when they had the lights on, I would always bring note cards, and every week I would write a note to one member in the church. Every week. Every week. I would just write a little note to somebody. Something I observed about them, or that I was praying for them, or whatever. And as we're leaving, just hand them the note. That's it. I did that every week. How easy would that be for you? Have it your community. You know, girl did my nails this weekend. Little Vietnamese girl, she was getting to the end. She's like, I've worked 10 hours today. And I just looked at her. And I'm like, wow, that's a long day. And she just like almost got tears in her eyes. I gave her a $20 tip. Said, God bless you. You're a hard worker and you do a great job. I'll see you next week. You know what? I'm going to say it. And this may be, you may like leave the building and run for the exit. Do you know that I have a lot of family members who work in the restaurant industry, including my daughter right now? Do you know that Sunday, that everyone in every restaurant is in dread because the Christians come in and they're rude and selfish and don't tip? I'm going to say this and you can get mad at me, and I'm not saying this personally to anybody because I don't know your track record. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I think this is really important to say this. Do your own math. Do your own math. Seriously, do your own math. I mean, I just am appalled. And this is why I end up half the time when you go out after church, I'm like, you know what? Just give me the check. Okay. Oh, give us individual checks. I'm like, really? You're that selfish? You're that selfish? That you're willing to overwork this poor, less than minimum wage guy or girl trying to earn a living? Oh, give us 18 individual checks because we're too lazy and selfish to do our own math. I'm sorry. I know I just made some people angry and hurt some feelings. I felt it was important to say. Churches, Christians have the worst reputation in every community in this country. in restaurants. Restaurants throughout the nation dread Sunday. They dread it because Christians are selfish. Selfish. Lazy. We can't be bothered taking out our phone to do the math. So could you put yourself to the inconvenience of bringing us 20 different checks? And we're trying to be wise stewards of our money, so we'll give you a 5% tip. We'll leave you a track. My sister, she's in this class, and she's done restaurants for decades. They don't leave you a tip, they leave you a track. She's like, I would have preferred the tip. You can't overtip. If you are a Christian in your community and people know you're a Christian, you know what? Don't go to dinner until you've saved up enough money to give at least a 20% tip. And I've inspired myself. I'm going to the bank right now and I'm getting a $100 bill. And the next time a restaurant, someone working in a restaurant, working their butt off, gives me good service, I'm going to give them that $100 bill. Because at my funeral, I want people in my community to say, God, that woman, she was like the most generous woman. She would go to Starbucks and give them $100. And she was kind and thoughtful and patient. Like, you know, this person's in a hurry. Go ahead. At the grocery store, you know, are you the one, you know, trying to knock people over to get in line so you can get out to your car first so you can get home and do what? You know what? I can see you're in a hurry. Go ahead. You've got a kid. You've got 5 kids. Go ahead. You go ahead. That's all right. I don't need to put myself first. I know. I don't even know. I know I probably made some people mad. I might have to go back and delete this part. I'm just being honest. Is anyone have the nerve to be this honest? I have never. I think I've heard Joyce Meyer address this at her conferences and get up and say, you know what? This whole city dreads the fact when our conference comes here because you guys trash the hotel and you're rude to hotel staff and you're rude to the restaurant people and you don't leave good tips. She addresses it. Mama Joyce, she goes after it. And I'm here today. And if you want people in your community to be at your funeral, you better be nice to them. Do your own math. Really, seriously. And then your career. And then your career. How do your coworkers see you? How do you need to show up? How do you need to show up at work? Again, I'm not going to go on a rant, but Christians have the worst reputation in the workplace. They do. I mean, it's just true. I mean, when I was in the work, I worked in investment banking. Christians in the entire building, Christians have the worst reputation. Selfish, self-centered, entitled. It's sad. Maybe it's changed. I haven't been in the workplace in 30 years. But back then, every job I ever had, the least liked person was the Christian, and it was not because they were being persecuted for their faith. It was because they were lazy and entitled. It's just true. I'm just being honest. You can throw something at me, demand a refund. I don't know. I'm just being honest with you and telling you things that are true. Okay? 21, be intentional about continuous. This is the last step. And then tomorrow we're going to be diving into God's word. 21, be intentional about continuous personal and professional development. This is a lifelong process. We need to be always learning. And you know what I love? I love, 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 love about this particular group of students. You are so teachable. You are so teachable. You want to know. You want to. You're not running for the exit when you hear something like, ouch, oh, wait. You're right. I do split the check. You know, you're like, wow, you know, Donna, wow, Holy Spirit really convicted me. What a small change I could make. I could do that. I could do my own math. And you're teachable. And I will tell you, you know, I've been a teacher in the body of Christ for 35 years. This year will be 36 years. I've been a teacher in the body of Christ. And I will tell you my conviction that there is no limit to what God can do with a teachable person. He's not looking for the most talented. He's not looking for, I mean, he is looking for that teachable one. Because a teachable student, a teachable Christian, God can do anything with that person. Would you be teachable? That's what God loved about David. David made more mistakes than Saul. But Saul wasn't teachable. When Samuel tried to bring correction to Saul, what did he do? He got defensive. He made excuses. And God said, you know, I can't work with him. He's out. I can't work with Saul. Why? Because he's not teachable. He's unteachable. I can't have an unteachable child. I can't have unteachable servants. I can't work with them. There's nothing I can do with them. It doesn't matter how tall, good looking, and smart, and capable, and competent they are. If they're not teachable, I can't work to them. David was teachable. He made bigger mistakes in many ways than King Saul. But when he was confronted and told, hey, David, this what you're doing right here, not cool. The way you're doing this, not good. You need to change. David's response was always teachable, humble. Wow, Nathan, you're right. I blew it. Samuel, you're right. I'm not the one. I'm messing up over here. Thank you for showing me where I need to grow, where I need to change. It's that teachable. And I've seen this 35 years. I've watched this. It's not the person with the most, you know, talent and potential that God, I mean, I know people, I could give you example after example, even in my recent experience, people with so much talent, so much skill, hard working, unteachable. You can't work with that person. You can't work with someone who's defensive and unteachable. And then you may have another person over here and, you know, they need to work on developing their skill. But they're teachable. And they're a joy. And I just want you guys to know, I love how teachable you are. And more than I love it, God loves it. And it tells me that you are the kind of person that God's going to be able to use in a big, huge way. And that's what continuous personal and professional development is. It's saying, you know what? I need to grow. I need to learn. I want to see what I'm not seeing. I want to know what I don't know yet, because I don't know what I don't know, and I can't see what I can't see. So I've had to constantly put myself in an environment as a student, as a learner, even if I have a PhD, even if I'm a pastor and a missionary, whatever, I need to be the student. And I need to be willing to be teachable and to learn. And that's what continuous personal professional development is all about. It's a heart. It's a heart that's set. In fact, the Bible says, blessed is the one who has set his heart on pilgrimage. Blessed is the one who has set his heart on pilgrimage. And blessed is the one who has set her heart on pilgrimage. Blessed is the one who says, I understand that the Christian life is a journey, and I need to always be in pursuit and always learning and always in the pursuit of holiness and the practice of godliness. And it's going to be this way every day until Jesus finally calls me home and they have my funeral. And I want to be found faithful up until the very end. I never want to get to the point where I'm like, well, yeah, I know it all. I've figured it out. I've arrived. I don't need anybody to tell me anything else because I've got it. Until the day, I've shared the story before. I did the first message I ever gave, there was a 92-year-old woman on the front row taking notes. And I was like blown away. I was blown away. I thought, well, I want to be 92 years old sitting in the front row taking notes. Even with some young whippersnapper up there. You know, what did I know that this 92-year-old woman didn't know? Nothing. But she was teachable. She's like, I can glean from anybody. That's the person that God's going to use in a mighty, mighty way. Do you believe? I just want to ask you, today concludes our study of my proven 7-step system to turn your resolutions into results. And do you believe that you've been given a proven system that will work for you if you follow the system? And I hope that your answer is yes, and that this was a blessing, and that you still love me, even though I told you to do your own math in restaurants. But only if you want people in your community to say nice things about you at your funeral.